Kevin, how are you, sir?
I'm good here at the NBA Summer League in Las Vegas. So I had to find a quiet corner of the Thomas and Mack Center.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time. I know it gets busy down there. There's a lot of basketball to watch. Let's go ahead and start there. Ute fans obviously very excited about the futures of a couple Utes that are, well, they're teammates again up in Toronto, Jakob Poeltl and DeLon Wright. How would you evaluate their performances so far, if you've had a good chance to see them?
Yeah, I got a chance to see a good bit of their game yesterday. They're actually playing right now, so I'll have more to say after that, I think. But Poeltl, you know, he looked like he was dealing a little bit with the adjustment to the physicality of the NBA game. Had one play where Minnesota's Chris Dunn, who has been one of the more impressive rookies here, drove and finished and came up right through Poeltl's face and whacked him in the nose. And, you know, that certainly was no fun for him. And you know, there's one play where he came down after a rebound and kind of yelled in frustration at the contact that wasn't called, but he did come down with the rebound. So that's kind of the adjustment he's making. But, you know, I think he'll get there. He's certainly got the skills to do it. For Wright, you know, he's one of those guys where you can tell that he's not only a four-year college guy, but now in his second summer league has had a year of practicing with the Raptors, not playing a lot, playing sometime in the D League. And he's just much more polished and in control than a lot of the younger point guards that are still in their first summer league.
Kevin, how are some of the Jazz players looking so far? They've got a couple of young guys down there playing right now. How have the Utah Jazz looked as a unit in the summer league?
Well, I think for them, this summer league is almost entirely about Trey Lyles and his development, giving him a chance to do some things and play with the ball in his hands in a way that he couldn't during the regular season and probably won't this year during the regular season either. But down the road, that could be part of his future. And, you know, he's not necessarily been incredibly efficient in that role, which is to be expected because of the fact that he's learning it. But you see the flashes of what he could do and what he could be, the ability to shoot threes off the dribble. There's not a lot of guys his size that can do that. You know, besides him, probably not a lot of guys who are going to factor into the Jazz's 2016-17 season. Maybe some players will be members of the Salt Lake Stars, the new D-League team that they'll have. But that's really put all the focus on Lyles and maybe made it more difficult for them to get wins and losses.
It's interesting when a player is in a position like that, right? Because that's not going to be Trey Lyles' role for the Utah Jazz, maybe ever, but for a long time, if it ever is, for him to be kind of that big-time feature guy. Does it still give teams, though, an accurate assessment when you maybe in the summer league he's option number one on the Jazz NBA floor? He might never be higher than option four, at least for the next couple of years.
Yeah, certainly it gives them a better read on it than they can get anywhere else. And that's why you send a second-year guy here, to kind of stretch them and figure out what else they can do beyond what you've already had them do in your rookie season. And even if it's not what he does on a regular basis, I think there will be times where, you know, he's spotting up, gets a hard closeout, and then he has to put the ball on the ground, drive against that closeout, and make a play off the dribble. And that's really where I think you'll see this development start to pay off.
Ben Simmons, the number one pick in the draft, playing with the Sixers in the summer league. It looks like he had a pretty good game his last time out. He's been pretty good across the board. Assess Ben Simmons' game so far through two games.
Yeah, so I was in Salt Lake last week, got a chance to watch him twice, and then have seen both of his games in Vegas so far. And, you know, his passing ability at his size is just breathtaking. He's got great court vision, and then the ability to whip passes on time and on target to set his teammates up for layups or open three-pointers. Last night what we saw was, you know, Chicago really sold out, stayed at home, played him as a passer, and forced him to score the ball and shoot the ball. And he showed the ability to do that. You know, had 18 points, the most he scored in the summer league game so far, and did it on 7-13 shooting. So that's part of that development process.
The Jimmer Fredette obsession is finally starting to die, even here in Salt Lake City. When a guy who's as age mature as he is now, he's 27 years old, and he's had as many opportunities as he's had. When a guy like that puts up points in summer league games, do teams even really pay that much attention to it?
You know, not really, honestly. I mean, it certainly gets your attention when he puts up 19 points and a half like he did the other night for the Nuggets. But what they want to see is, you know, him playing a role, something that would translate to how he could be used in an NBA system. And certainly it's not going to be his role to have the ball in his hands that much, be scoring that much. It's going to be more about him being a complimentary piece and hitting spot-up jumpers.
One of the guys that looks like he's been standing out so far through the Vegas Summer League is Thon Maker, one of Sean's favorite prospects out of this draft. Is he look like a steal at this point with 16 points and 15 boards a game? And has anyone figured out exactly how old he is yet?
They have not, sadly. But I don't know if I'd say steal since he did go in the top 10, but he's justified the fact that Milwaukee did that, what was considered, I think, something of a reach on draft night. He's shown a lot of promise. He's still got to focus on just playing his role offensively, not trying to do too much off the dribble, shoot too many jumpers. But when he does that, I mean, his athleticism is really impressive. And even though he doesn't quite know what he's doing out on the court yet, you can tell he needs a lot of polish. His athleticism, his ability to cover a lot of ground in a hurry, and his long arms help cover up for that.
Is there a name that maybe we don't know yet that we should know coming out of Summer League, someone that's surprising people or rocketing up the prospect boards or whatever you would call it?
I don't know that there's been an example of that yet so far this summer. I mean, someone I liked in Salt Lake City was Bryn Forbes, who was playing for San Antonio, a guy who played at Michigan State and is an extremely good outside shooter, knocked down basically every three he took, but he was also impressive in terms of his ability to score inside the arc. Downside is he's, you know, a 6'3" shooting guard, so he's always going to have a tough time defensively in the league. But, you know, if you can make 40% plus of your threes, there's probably a place for you somewhere in the NBA.
Buddy Hield was a guy that I think probably a lot of people expected to do well in this type of format. He's taking 20 shots a game. Most aren't going down. Why is Buddy Hield struggling right now?
Yeah, and that's a situation where it's an adjustment for him because teams are defending him a lot more aggressively, going well beyond the three-point line, forcing him to put the ball on the ground and try to make shots off the dribble much more than he had to at Oklahoma. Did see him start to adjust and catch fire. I think he had 4 three-pointers in the fourth quarter last night after a really slow start again. So, you know, maybe that's an indication of him turning the corner, and he certainly is seemed to keep a good perspective on it. He's very mature for an NBA rookie.
Kevin Pelton is our guest here talking some Summer League and NBA hoops on ESPN 700. Let's talk about the other big news out of the NBA. Tim Duncan, in the most Tim Duncan way possible, decides to hang it up. What's the legacy of a guy like that? 5 titles. Is he the best power forward ever?
You know, it depends whether you count him there or not. I think I'm sure that title was not very popular in the state of Utah, certainly. But, you know, really, he was a center for most of his career and should probably be considered in with those guys. And there, I think he's right in that mix with guys like Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's one of the top 5 to 6 players in NBA history. When you look at everything he accomplished, both individually and at the team level, you know, I think he's the best player to enter the NBA in the 1990s, the best of his generation, and clearly in the top 10 of all time, maybe even in the top 5.
How come he doesn't get the love? A lot of people don't think of Tim Duncan as maybe a top 5 or top 10 player all time. Is it because there was no flash to his game?
I think that's a lot of it. Then playing in a market like San Antonio as opposed to someone like Kobe Bryant, who played in L.A. and was always going to have the attention whenever he did brilliant things on the court, which was often in Kobe's case. But, you know, if you stack those two guys' career up head-to-head, it's hard to make the case statistically for Kobe. Duncan kind of blows him away.
One thing that I think fascinates a lot of people is that sort of humility, or at least, you know, public humility of a guy like Tim Duncan while being a relatively dominant player. I threw out the hypothetical here. We were trying to figure out other guys who have, you know, 15 all-star appearances or the equivalent of something like that, that kind of stardom, who won't take advantage of the opportunity to go out with a farewell tour of any kind. It doesn't have to be as big as Kobe's, but it feels like most of these guys like the attention a little bit or a lot, and that they'll take advantage of the fact that they receive some gifts, some adoration, and some reflection time on the contributions of their career. Tim Duncan just walked away. Are we going to see other guys do this? I don't think we are. Do you think we'll see other guys that have the ability to go on a farewell tour just say, no, I'm done?
Well, I think the big thing is really to do that when you're still a productive player at that stage of your career. I mean, he was, you know, the second best defensive player after Kawhi Leonard on a team that was number one in the NBA in defense. So a very important, very effective player. So, I mean, you know, I think there are some guys who kind of fade away a little bit. You look at even Shaquille O'Neal. I don't recall a farewell tour for him when he retired same thing where he was kind of, you know, different thing where he was kind of winding down his career, wasn't playing for the same team he'd already always played on, but he didn't have quite the Kobe situation. So, you know, I think he's probably always going to still be on a case-by-case basis, depending on the guy's personality and whether they want that attention or not.
Kevin, one of the surprises in free agency, at least for me, was Dwayne Wade leaving Miami and going to Chicago. They dumped some Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, and Pau Gasol left. There looks like they're rebuilding with Jimmy Butler as the core piece, Wade and Rajon Rondo around him. Is Chicago just kind of shooting for the middle of the road in the Eastern Conference, and that's about it? Or they legitimately think they can make a run out in the East?
I mean, I assume that they think they can make a run, or they wouldn't have paid so much money for Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade. But, yeah, from the outside, it certainly looks like they're probably more likely to end up in the middle, even though they're building around Jimmy Butler. Those aren't necessarily the guys you'd want around them because of the fact that, you know, Rondo in particular is a complete non-shooter and needs the ball in his hands. Wade can have some value playing off the ball because he's such a good cutter, but he's someone who is certainly most effective with the ball in his hand, and that's where Jimmy Butler has been most effective. So you put those three pieces together, it doesn't seem like a puzzle that really fits.
Are other teams and other superstars in the NBA going to react differently to the Warriors this year now that Kevin Durant has joined the team than they already did a year ago when they were, you know, the best regular season team in history?
I think it changes their perception a little bit in some ways. You know, Durant is actually probably considered a bigger star around the league than Steph Curry, despite the fact that Curry has the back-to-back MVP awards and his role on the championship team and the team that went 73-9. But, you know, I think everyone is going to be trying to do the same thing, which is, you know, make a little history and knock off this team that everyone thinks is going to be, winning 70-plus games again.
Kevin, Draymond Green arrested over the weekend, I guess apparently had some sort of assault issue. Just another hiccup in the road, just kind of something, a sidebar, a side note for Warriors. This isn't something too much to worry about.
Well, it's tough to say, you know, without knowing all the facts, sort of the situation's still developing over the course of the day. And there's always a tendency to rush to judgment when we first hear the headline without waiting for things to get fleshed out and the investigation to be complete. I mean, I think the big concern for him is having this happen right before he goes to represent the U.S. in the Olympics and whether that could be a stain on him. But as many people pointed out, you know, Charles Barkley had a fair track record and he was part of the Dream Team. I'm rereading Jack McCallum's book on the Dream Team and how that came together. And there was some debate over Barkley, but ultimately his talent won out. That'll probably be the case with Draymond if there are any questions about him.
Speaking of the Olympics, there are guys opting out, but does any other nation threaten the U.S. in these Rio Olympics for the gold medal?
I don't think so this year. I mean, the fact is that a lot of other, you know, international teams aren't going to be putting their best squads on the court. We'll see about France, which I think actually might be the best competitor. They just got in, qualified yesterday by beating Canada and the Philippines in the last of the qualifying tournaments to wrap up. And, you know, that's a team that has a lot of NBA talent. They get everyone out there, but most of their players were not playing in the Philippines. We'll see how many of them join up for the Olympics.
That's Kevin Pelton, ESPN NBA insider down at the Summer League. Have fun with that. Appreciate you taking the time, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, will do. Thanks for having me.